And let's open up today with a wonderful and special
Chodeshor.
And actually, we're right up to the bottom of Nun Zayin Amid Beis, which offers a fantastic opening to our own favorite Sabbath Drash.
Zukta Harika Mishnah.
Ein Modedin Ela Bechevel Shel Chamishim Amah. Now that we've finished describing the theoretical way in which we provide virtual squarings of circles and define the proportions of parkland and so on and so forth, we still have to get down to the brass tacks. And as you know, brass tacks had to do originally with measuring material at the textile store. They had little brass tacks at the counter, and they would hold the material against the brass tacks. Anybody ever went with their grandma to the material store? Remember, they still do that. Ah, there you go. Okay, so now we're down to brass tacks. Problem is, to be modded at home with brass tacks is rather difficult. So what do we use? We use a rope, and we'll see later on in Halacha that this rope is made out of pishtim. We use a rope of 50 amot, no longer and no shorter. All this will be explained in the Gemara. And furthermore, on either side, the surveyors have to hold the rope at exactly the same height, because otherwise you're going to get some diagonal in there, which is going to ruin the measurement. So you hold it connected to the lathe. Hayamodet, now you're sitting there doing your job, and suddenly you come to a guy. You suddenly come to a cliff here, or to a gader. What you can do is your mavlio, v'choser lemidato. Mavlio means you absorb it by going along, having the guy on the other side, and you pass it over. You ignore it, in other words, for all intents and purposes. Because if you have the other person on the other side, then that means that all of the distance it would have taken you to crawl down and come back up again is irrelevant. As long as it's chamishim amah, you could stretch that rope over it. It's not a problem. Is it? Yeah, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, which maybe I am. Not because of this. Okay.
That's a wide valley.
Oh, now what happens? Same thing is true of higia lahar. If you come to... You come to a har. Same thing. Mavliyo v'chozer l'midato. Now this chozer l'midato means like this. If you're able to be mavliyo with a guy on the other side, it's all very nice. Chozer l'midato means that you've gone out of where you were. So obviously what we're talking about over here is a case in which you have to measure from the side. So if you've got a gap which you can't now cross with just the chamishim amah rope. The deal is you do not build telephone poles in the middle of the guy and then stretch chamishim amah ropes across in order to measure. What you do is you go to the side. Right. And you come to a point at which you now can stretch over. You get to, and of course you measure up until that point. And now you keep your east-west line, let's say you're going north-south, you keep your east-west line with your surveyor tool, go back to where you were in a straight line, and then continue out from that point. So you now know exactly, and you've ignored it, basically. That's called havla'ah. It's absorbed, it's subsumed into the straight line which you ended up using, which you got from the side. Now, if you knew how to hover over it, that would be even easier. But the point is that without hovering, this is what you do. You go to the side, come back around, and continue walking. I suppose you need a picture for that. I'm sure they must have pictures about how you walk around and come back. This is really a complex idea. Okay, here's the simple mavli'o. So here you have your surveyors who are the telephone poles. That's in picture number 213. Mm-hmm. And the chut, in this case, crosses directly over the Grand Canyon. So you have no problem with all of those kilometers down the Grand Canyon. On the other hand, if it's too wide, here it's way too wide, as you see in 214. So you go to the side, follow the dotted line. And then you walk back. That's the dotted line where you walk back. And then you continue going outwards. That's the dotted line. So now... Just watching, following that dotted line for dummies will even get you out of a plane that's crash landed. So there's nothing to it.
But what's the reason we don't measure short of that? We don't actually measure.
Why don't we go in?
It's because it's our perceived visual.
No, we'll see. You're too early. You're too early. You're too early on this. As we're going to see that actually there's four different ways that we deal with this measurement. So far we have direct medida and the concept of havla'ah. Now this halakha about going to the side and being chozer lemidato has one caveat, and that is shelo yetzei chutz l'tchum. You cannot go so far to the side that it takes you out of the tchum of the city in order for you to get to a point where it's thin enough to cross over with your 50 amot chevel and then make your way back. Not that there's anything theoretically wrong with that, but as we'll see, The problem is that people who watch the surveyors measuring the tchum on a Wednesday will decide they wouldn't be out here if this wasn't the place where the tchum is, so I guess we can walk here on Shabbat, obviously, because the surveyors were out here. Little did they know the only reason the surveyors were out there is because they needed a place where they could cross over, and then they were going to go back into the tchum. So therefore, in order to avoid those kind of misunderstandings, we don't allow you to do the havla'ah by walking too much to the side to the point where you're beyond 2,000 amot to the city. But it's simply a gezerah. There's nothing, obviously, logistically makes no difference to us how far it is you'd go to the side. You know, unless you're beyond the horizon, then we'd have to worry about the question of squaring a circle, things like that. But forget about it. You're never going to get there. Okay. V'im eino yachol lahav liyo. Now, if there's a problem and you're unable to simply subsume the valley, so such as in the case where we just had, where you simply can't go to the side, and there's no way for you to be mavliya, or, I mean, the simpler case would be where the valley continues around. In other words, it curves around the other side of the city, so there's no way that you can get beyond it. So in such a case, what do? The Zohar Rabbi Yustoy Bar Yanai Mishum Rabbi Meir Shamati Shemikadrin Deharim. This gives us the third mode of measurement. The literal meaning of Mikadrin, we saw earlier, means that you drill a hole right through the mountain. But it doesn't mean really doing that. It's quite expensive. So what it means is, as we'll see, is that we take four amot sections of rope. One person holds the rope against his heart, as he normally would, but the person on the upper side of the incline holds the rope against his feet and then turns around, picks up the rope, and hands it to the next guy when he's at his heart. The next guy holds it at his feet, and so on. So you create these steps where the person is standing. Do we have a picture? Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, yes.
Look at that.
It helps.
There we go.
It does.
Those are people. That's a rope.
So
the advantage over there is that obviously we could theoretically get the type of incline in which we don't really have anything being lost to the diagonal.
One is less steep.
Yeah, and even if it is, we're compromising, because at least we're not using the entire diagonal. We're gaining at each forearm out, we gain the height of the person from his feet to his heart. So it's a compromise. It's the closest we'll get to Kidun. Okay, that's the third mode of measurement. We haven't seen the fourth. The fourth is actually called estimation, which is the easiest way to go. Now, we've already seen elements of estimation, which was, and you could ask yourself, why do we need all of this? Since we said earlier that if you're walking, just take 2,000 non-giant steps forward, and then you're at your tchum. And so what is all of this about? So obviously, as the Meiri explains, those 2,000 non-giant steps are just in a place where you don't have any signs, you're in the middle of nowhere, nobody's ever measured the tchum before, we allow you to rely on that. But that's a best guess estimation. But if you have a city, then one of the duties of the city is to provide markers and saying, Ad kan tchum Shabbat. And this is the way that we measure in order to be koveya those tchumi. Now we know that there is one place where measurement is critical, and that is to determine Egla Arufa. We're over there. Every centimeter makes a difference. And the question is, if somebody was found murdered, the Torah says you have to measure. It says, Umadotem, you have to measure. I mean, there we wouldn't be able to go for any of these kind of compromises, because the idea over there is to be Mote. These are kulas that the Chachamim are applying to Tchumim, but as we'll see later, those things where the Torah said you need to measure, and there's the other place, of course, is the Orei Halaviyim, where it says you should be modet chutzli your elef ba'amah for the migrash, and so on. There we're makbid to do it the way the Torah says to do it. Minonim even. So how do we, where do we get this idea that we're supposed to use 50 amot sections? Omer Rav Yehuda Amarav, it's our old standby. Our old standby is the Chatzar HaMishkan. And the Torah said that Orech HaChatzar Me'a Be'amah V'Aroch HaChamishim Ba'Chamishim, which made no sense. It can't be 50 by 50 if it's 100. Now, earlier we said that what this means is to take the other 50 and to square it around the first 50. In other words, instead of measuring our karfaf by 100 times 50, which is 5,000, make a square of that and measure it by 70 and two-thirds, by 70 and two-thirds, rather than by 50 and 100, right? And that's where we got the whole idea of the karfaf, that's where we all got the whole idea of the extension of 70. We took it from chamishim by chamishim. Does everyone remember this? I'm not getting any vital signs here on any of the monitors. I mean, either the batteries here are dead or your batteries are dead. Something's wrong. All right, so that was our first Chamishim B'Chamishim. Now the Gemara is saying Chamishim B'Chamishim is measure 50 by 50 by 50 by 50. Now let's keep using 50 Amot ropes. And of course, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, what right do we have to use it for that if we already know what it means? So what's the Chamishim B'Chamishim? It's measure Chamishim. Wow, it's getting fancier by the day. Wow, sweet. I'm not sure, how does that work? But you drink through the hole, you put a straw through the hole, you could even take off the top.
Well, that's a
black hat that doesn't shut out a tefach. Look around Shabbos. Thank you very much. So the Chevel Midod asks the Gemara, but how can you use it to tell me that you use the Chevel of Chamishim Amah? I thought we used that to take the area of the other 50 by 50 part of the Chatzar and to wrap it around the first area of 50, which means squaring the 5,000 Amot. And says the Gemara, you're right, we did use it for that. But there's two separate points here. Because, look, the Torah could have said Chamishim, Chamishim. Now that would have been in 50-50 sections. Instead it says Chamishim by Chamishim. So therefore we can now derive two things. That you should take that Chamishim and surround it with the other Chamishim, and you should measure the Chamishim with Chamishim sections. So we have two limudim here from the Chatzar Mishkan. Shiur of Karfaf, and how to measure the Karfaf, and also with what to measure. Now the Mishnah said lo pachot v'lo yoter, and the Braita explains this in some more detail. Tana, lo pachot, if it's too short, then you end up having too much leeway in terms of elasticity, because the people that are being modeed can put enough pressure on this thing to stretch it. Masha inkein, if you've got a lot of rope there, it's going to be beyond their kochot, it's going to be hard enough to hold it straight, and too difficult for them to pull, so there'll be less of a change determined by the amount of pull that they exert on the rope. So in order to notice what we've got here is a problem. If we're going to use a long rope, which you would think, okay, that's the easiest way to do it. I mean, just take the longer the rope, the more accurate, because we have less pieces. The problem is that a long rope sags. And then in order to get it not to sag, then you're going to have to be pulling on it tremendously, which first of all is difficult, and secondly, it could now introduce distortions because of elasticity. On the other hand, if we make it too short, then obviously we're creating too many pieces, not to mention that we're also making even greater possibilities of distortion because of elasticity. So there's a compromise. In other words, you can't go more. You can't go less because you're going to be stretching out the chum too far. You can't go more than 50 amot pieces because due to the sagging of the rope, you're going to end up being mima'it. Omer Vasi. In modedin, eva ela bechevel shel afaskima. You can only use faxed cables in order to measure. My afaskima, what exactly is that? Omer Baba, it's a nargila, in case you want to get high on the way. My nargila, Omer Yaakov dikla dechad navra. Nargila is a palm that grows, Rashi learns that it grows this ropey substance around it. That's straight. It has to be the kind that's chad navra, not that goes in all directions and it's not tight. Others learn chad navra means that it has only one branch. So it doesn't split. The normal grows around it. The ropey grows.
Doesn't
split.
Stretch?
No, I guess so. Other lushans have it, that Ikadiyamri have a different lushan in which Maya Faskima Reb Abba said Nargila and Reb Yaakov said Dikla the chad navra, but it wasn't the same thing. According to this, the afakima the Oroch brings is the ropey growth around an ilan egoz, as opposed to the other lashon, which has the dikla dechad navra as the explanation of what an argila is. As we'll see, neither of these are true lahalakha, and halakha we end up using pishkan. So Tanya Amar Yeshua ben Hananya. Truth is, in terms of the problems of weight and stretching, the best solution is not to use a single substance, a single core, but rather to make a chain. The best thing you could do is Ein lecha yafesh lemidinan yoter mishalshalot shel barzel. What you ought to use is a chain, and a metal chain, so that you've got no possibility of stretching, or very little possibility of stretching, and you also, because it's in small sections, don't have as much a problem with the drooping either. In other words, if it's a single piece, what are you going to do if the rope is... How much can you pull? I think if it's little links, then they'll pull straight. Avamana, I said, what are we supposed to do? The Torah doesn't go along with us. Sharei Amra Torah, the Torah says specifically, Uviado Hevel Midah, that the man is carrying a string of Midah, which means that apparently whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us how to measure, measuring whether they're measuring for Chas V'Shalom, the destruction of Yerushalayim, or the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, Rashi actually quotes, says this pasuk is in Yechezkel, which it's not, and therefore others learn that he had another Girsa. There is another Girsa in the Sugya, which is a Ptil Pishtim. That's the Yerushalmi's Girsa. And the Ptil Pishtim, indeed, is consistent with the Sugya later on, that we use Pishtim, which otherwise we don't have any Mokar for. In the Yerushalmi, in our Sugya, that's what it says over here, which apparently Rashi had, because he says it comes from Yechezkel. And this pasuk comes from Zechariah. It's not part of the measuring of the Beit HaMikdash of Yechezkel. But in any event, it says, Hevel Midah. Oh, but wait a minute. It also says, and this was again that very strange malach who appeared with the little laser pointers in his ear to measure the Beit HaMikdash, who's obviously an engineering malach. Ubiyada ish kenei hamidah. Now, a kenei hamidah is not a hevel. It's a solid piece. They were using it as a reed. Now, ahula tiroi, that's for measuring the gates, the doors. The doors are short. There you can use a kenei midah, and it's more accurate. But it's one piece. But when you're talking about measuring something of a thousand amot, there you're going to have to use a chaval. Tanya Rav Yosef, shlosha chavalim hem. There are three types of chavalim that are used for halakha. There's magag, which is a type of reed. There's netzer, which is either netzer as clipped aravot, without the arava, without any kind of those very thin branches. Or it could mean the sieve around the dekel. We sometimes use it as that. That's Nitzarim, like the name of the town. And there's also Shopishtan. What are these used for? Magag is used for para. Why is it used for para? Because it's not Makabal Tuma. Now the truth is, as Tosis points out, no Chevel would be Makabal Tuma, because anyway, you need it to be Tavui V'arug, and you don't have Tavui V'arug in normal Chavali. However, again, as Tosis points out, as numbers of the strange Chumras by para go, such as, for instance, utilizing only clay even. So we use clay even because we want to make sure that even the material that we use, in any circumstances, would never be mekabel tuma. So therefore, we use magag, which isn't suitable for making real begonim out of, in order to have something that under no circumstances could be mekabel tuma. Then you have netzer, and what is that used? First of all, magag is the parat, says in the Mishnah. Kaftua bechevel magag, that we tie down the parah, and put it anatnua agabe ma'arachta, to put it on the ma'arechet where it will be burned. Nitzarim is used for the sota. The tlan v'achakach mevi chevel ha-nitzri v'kosho l'mala midadeha. So when we tear her blouse in order to make sure that it doesn't fall down and expose her breasts, we tie, but with the chevel ha-nitzri, which is a zilzul. And then shopishtan, that's used for medida. And here, this is actually how we pass it. Not like the previous, not like Rav Asi, but rather like Rav Yosef. Hayam Oded V'Higia points out the Gemara, note that the Mishnah says, V'chozer L'midato. Now what that must mean is, Midatani, Chozer L'midato, the Mishnah is telling us in one swoop two different halachot. If you can subsume the guy directly, meaning one person on one side and one on the other side, I didn't want to say one guy on one side, of course, so then he would be able to be Mavliya directly. But what happens if it's too big? So instead of adding an additional clause, and the Mishnah puts in this one word, chozer. Chozer means, apparently, there's a place where you need to walk to the side, find a place where you could span the gap, and then go back to where you were before. Or if I thought I didn't know, I'm checking. What do you have? Ardashir.
Yeah, it's done
in Ardashir. I gotta see that. A picture of Ardashir?
I have a picture of Ctesiphon, but it talks about the founding of the cities.
Wow!
Ardashir and the
Rosh. Daddy, I like that. An ancestor of the founder of the dynasty, Ardashir I. Ardashir the first.
City.
That's amazing. Wow. That's great.
Pages are in order.
Very nice. Thank you so much. Get yourself a better quality paper. That's terrific.
It's an emergency.
So, as I was pronouncing it wrong, it's not Ardashir, huh? Okay, so you see how brilliant this was written so clearly, because throwing in that one word chozer, you're also telling me I have a right to go to the side, find a place where I can spend it, and go back and continue measuring on. Therefore, says the Gemara, this teaches us, Tanina Lahada Tanur Rabbanan, this now teaches us what we saw in more detail in the Braita. Actually, I skipped a little. Apparently, if there's no way to stretch the single chevel over it, walk to the side until you reach a place where it is spannable, measure the entire distance, that which is now straight, until you get to the guy, of course, and then the spanning of the guy itself. You use your surveyor's kit to mark the place where you should be going back on your north, on your east-west axis, was the case we had before. Can you get back to where you were, and then you continue on north-south, which is Taninala, the Tanur Rabbanan, that teaches us, which we already really see in greater detail in the Braita, and here the Mishnah includes all of this in one word, Choser l'midato, and as usual, the Braita expands upon that. So if you're able to be mavliya directly, then be mavliya. If you can't do it here, get to a place where you can, be mavliya it with whatever additional pieces of measurement you need to get until that point. Mark it now, the correct point with your surveyor's telescope. And get back to where you were before, and then continue on from that point. Im haya gai ne'ukam. Now, if the valley goes around the side of the city, now there's not much use, you're not going to find a place where you're going to be able to cross it, then makdir ve'ole, makdir ve'yored. Then you have to do, as it says in the Mishnah, shamati shemakdirim beharim. You could do this up, you could do this down. If this is a guy that you can't stretch over, then you treat it like a mountain, basically. Go up the sides and up the other side. Higia l'kotel. And now here is the fourth mode of measuring. The truth is, I mean, we ought to add the different types of havla'ah and get ourselves five modes of measuring. Direct havla'ah, we could stretch a 50 amma string over it, and the indirect havla'ah, where you go to the side, the choser. So we have havla'ah, chazara, kedira, and now we get to a case where you come to a wall, and the wall continues on for quite a while. Yeah, but that's not how we would normally mark it.
GPS or actual photograph?
No, because we have to take into consideration these ups and downs.
I thought it was just distance,
and
that was what we were just getting over.
Nope. We don't ask you to drill a hole through the wall, meaning even with the ability to just get up on a ladder on one side, have another guy on the ladder on the other side, and then just get the direct line. You don't even have to do that. Ela omdo v'alechlo. There you estimate. Why? Well, why should we treat a wall any differently than we treat a guy? You can go to the side of the wall, take your measurement, and then go back again and continue to walk. Answers the Gemara, because the application of the level of measurement, which we call havla'ah, is only where we need to treat with some respect the area that we're measuring. So if it's something that is usable for walking on, so then we treat it as if it needs measurement. But if it isn't usable to walk on at all, to some extent it's irrelevant to our tchum. It's just in the way. And therefore, Chazal allowed you to estimate that what is in your way and to continue on.
Yeah, I know you know it.
You add in the omid.
Even though
you don't have to. You don't have to treat it seriously.
So what's the different factor of this? It's not your perception. It's not what's the real factor behind all these things?
Making life easier. No, I mean obviously there is the relationship of how we've introduced now the relationship of how. But you know what? It's too early. Again, I said repeat. We haven't yet completed the information. There's no problem. Don't bother. If this wall is something that's actually there for you in terms of distance, fine, then bother. But over here, don't bother. It's just simply something in the way, so get an estimate. The other cases that we had weren't things in the way. It was a way in which you wanted to get around it, literally. In other words, I don't want my tomb to go all the way. Why would I go all the way up and down anyway? If I could avoid it. Sorry, what?
We have
but that's only when it's a space that you need to walk on, and I don't need to walk on the
You're still only getting the straight distance, and you're not adding into it the height aspect.
or the diagonal aspect of it, at least.
All true, but irrelevant.
So why wouldn't the GPS work where it's non-existent?
Because you don't have enough information, that's why. Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shana L'Shein Chut HaMashkolet Yorid Kenegdo. All of this business that we say Magdir. My goodness gracious. This is really special. Thank you. Thank you all. So, unbelievable. And not just any old waiter. The waiter with the biggest smile this side of the West. So, says the Gemara, when do we do the Kidira? Kidira itself, now that we've introduced the idea of usable area, and only when we have usable area do we need to take it seriously. Says Shmuel, the same thing is true about a guy. It's dafke, lo shana l'sh'in chut ha-mashkolet yored kenegdo. This is only if you wouldn't be able to drop a plumb line. If you don't drop a plumb line, this is how Rashi learns. We'll see, Tosfos has a different explanation. But if you could drop a plumb line, now this doesn't mean literally drop a plumb line, which would be the Grand Canyon. What this means is that you can drop a plumb line within 4 amot, as we'll see later on. In other words, if you could hang a plumb line up to 4 amot, and drop it, and it would hit the bottom, halachas kind of gamma, if you don't have to hang it out, it hits the bottom, then it's really the Grand Canyon. But even if you would stick out something on a pole, drop your plumb line, it would still hit the bottom, it's not usable. You can't climb up and down such a thing. I mean, it's an absurd angle, right?
But it's easier to measure.
So therefore, in such a case, you don't include the angle at all, and you're not magdir. What you do is, when you have a chuta mashkolet, you're eight kenegdo, modedu midida yafa. In this case, ignore the area of the angle, scramble down into the valley, and measure the actual even space of the valley, ignoring the ups and downs. Is this Kriyat Yamsuf, according to Cecil B. DeMille? This is, it looks exactly like that. A little ridiculous. Kriyat Yamsuf, they had. But I guess this is it. So I can't imagine. This helps.
It does, right?
It does. Mididayafa on the ground is that straight line on that nice straight ground, which you'll only find on a computer screen. And the mashkolet falling directly is the line, a dotted line again.
It's a dotted mashkolet.
Yeah. Now we're all happy.
But you end up with more than 2,000. No. Why? Straight line is the vert road, as a vert line. Why would you end up with more?
You're ignoring the
4 meter, the angle.
I just need to know if you're talking to him or you're talking to me, because I'm getting very confused. I suppose. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, no, I would say that if you're going to ignore something, then you're going to end up having more than 2,000.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. You will indeed, as the crow flies.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So this is now another consideration of useless land. So in the previous area where you've just had the kotel, you do an amida and you continue on. Over here, you're going to be measuring. So what we allow you to do is to measure the measurable part and basically to ignore the part that's useless and not made for people to be able to walk on. How far down could you go with this, asks the Gemara. Kama omko shel gai. I mean, is there any limit to how deep the Grand Canyon could be? And that's a very funny thing, because you'd be walking 2,000 amot, where in order to get there, you'd need to travel maybe 20,000 amot. This is an interesting thing. I mean, there's some limit to this. The Kamam Karsha Gai, Om Rabbi Yosef, Alpine, it can't be more than a Tum Shabbat itself. Because how can Tum Shabbat absorb another Tum Shabbat? So therefore, in that case, you'd have to be Mikader, even though you'd have to simply go ahead and not Mavliya. Now, Rashi learns that this question is not referring to our case of Medida Yafa, it's referring to the case of Havla'a. How much could you be Mavliya? But say you have a deep cavern, you have your Grand Canyon, and there's a place where the other guy can, in fact, cross, or you were Mavliya to the side. How far down could that thing go to the Colorado River down there and still be included in your Chamishim Amah? So in other words, according to Rashi, this is going back now on the sugya of Havla'a, not on the sugya of Medida Yafa at all. And we'll get to a summary of the Gemara here according to Rashi in a moment. So Rabbi Yosef is Alpayim. Asks Abayat Rav Yosef, doesn't it say Amok me'a v'rochav chamishim, if it's 100 amot deep, this crevice, and 50 amot wide, so then mavlio, but im lav ein mavlio. Now you'll note that this is extremely important for the first station on the moon, because, I mean, in order to be able to be yotzei, and not to worry about chutzatun, you've got to know how to deal with all those crevices. Or for that matter, you know, the Arctic station is also a big problem. So if it's 100 deep, okay. But if it's more than that, not, and you're claiming to be up to 2,000. He's going according to Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Achirim Omrim Afilo Amok Alpayim, which is what he said. As long as it's only Rochav Chamishim, and therefore it can be bridged by the rope, Mavliyo. Ikri Amri, and others have a gears which would be Yosef Afilo Yoter Mi Alpayim. Even if it's more than 2,000, ask the Gemara, so now who is he relying on? Keman, the Loki Tanakama, the Loka Achirim. The Tanakama gave you a maximum of 100. The Achirim gave you a maximum of a Tchum Shabbat. How could Rabbi Yosef ignore both of these? And Rabbi Yosef answers, no, we're not talking about the same case. Ha'atam she'ein chut ha'mashkolet yoreit kinegdo. Ha'acha b'chut ha'mashkolet yoreit kinegdo. What they're talking about, the machlokas of the Tanakama and Rabbi Meir, is talking about where it's walkable. I mean, difficult, but at least it's included in our shear of a plumb line not hitting the bottom, even if it's extended out for Amot. So since at some little extent it's considered to be walkable, we have to treat it l'chumra, and therefore there's limits to how deep we allow you to be mavliya. There you'll have to be magdir. Magdir. The kuf. Mashenken, in my case, I'm talking about a completely different situation. I'm talking about a steep crevice in which the plumb line would actually hit the bottom within four, and over there it's bechlal not roy for usage. So I'm saying, who cares how deep it is? That type of avala'ah completely ignores an area that is useless for anything to be done with it.
It's not crossable that way, you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so deep.
I mean, it's not crossable. Of course it's crossable.
You could rappel down it?
No, you hover over it. Or you put a bridge over it. Or you walk around the side. Or you, whatever. Or you put on anti-gravity. So I mean, there's plenty of ways to cross it. Asks the Gemara, what is the shear?
The anti-gravity
suits
would need power, so therefore you couldn't use
it much else. Ah. Kama. The language over here sounds like, and because of this the Rambam learns it differently, as it sounds like. What it seems to be asking, and what would be the shear that you, Rabbi Yosef, would allow in their case? But, I mean, it's not going to help us, the way we've been learning this again. Rashi learns, many of the other Rishonim, is that this is not a classic v'chi ein. It's rather ein. We're just asking, what is the explanation of the quote, ki ein chut ha'mashkolet yoreit kinegdo, which you just said? What do you mean by that? I mean, obviously you don't mean a plumb line where it's right at the edge. It has to be a completely vertical 90 degree fall. Is that what you're saying? And he answered, Amravimi arba. We're talking about arba amot. Within arba amot, that's the shear. We don't mean that it's literally a Grand Canyon. V'chein tani rami bar yecheskel arba, meaning arba amot. Now that the Rambam understood the question to be kipshuto. And what would you say when you said alpayim before? They said mea alpayim. What would you say? Arba, meaning arba alafim. So, and where would he get that from? Arba alafim seems to be very arbitrary. So the Rishonim explained the Rambam Shita as being based on the idea of the ear that's shaped like a keshet. Which over there, we said arba alafim would be the maximum because at least from each side, you would have the tum shabbos. Higi
alahar. Last time around, or 2 times
ago,
I think
you're
about, if not a shmul, if not a sheer drop, or two mavliyot is a machlokas, if not a sheer drop, or three, it's a sheer drop, it can't be mavliyot like it doesn't exist. Is that helpful?
It's too fast for me.
I don't think we're
still talking about simple shot. Okay. Alright. Higia lahar, mavliyo v'chazer l'midato. If you come to a mountain, so then again, you do the same thing. You're mavliya, if you can. Omar Rav, and here we introduce an entirely new issue, which is why we had to ignore Moshe Baruch's insistence that we're talking about as the crow flies throughout the circuit, which we are not. Omar Rav, lo shono el bahar hamitlaket asara mitoch arba. As we've seen, the shear that we've always used for a separation of rishuyot is where within a horizontal distance of four amot, there's a rise to the level of 10 tefachim. So if you've got that type of angle in the aliyah of the har, then you have a right to be mavliya it. so that you basically are ignoring the all of the miles that it's going to take you to get to the top and down to the bottom again. You can do all of that on Shabbat. But if you've got a har which is not that difficult to walk, and it doesn't come under the rubric of mechitzot, so there it's mitlaket asara, let's say, betoch chamesh amot. So every 5 amot, it goes up by 10 tefachim. Ah, that is the equivalent of straight land. Because when you...
Happy
Holy Rosh Chodesh!
Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday
to you!
Wow!
Happy birthday, Moshe Baruch!
Happy birthday to you! Wow! I can't believe it. He's hit 30 already. This is terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't know,
we don't trust you anymore.
The cake is made with sweeter, so you can have as much as you want.
Of course.
Thank you.
That's great. It's just sugar. That's the only problem.
We can wait until the year ends to be last time. Interrupted and we're to have it. That's like the cake is hot.
Whatever.
Yeah, but we're close enough. We're close enough. So that's beautiful. Wow. Could you do this every day, Moshe Baruch?
The whole 2 weeks.
Have a very merry young birthday to you. So, Omar Rav, if you've got a har that's a mitlake, let's say 10 within 5 amot, then it's a normal ground. So then, modedo medida yafa. This obviously doesn't mean modedo medida yafa the way the other one. It's the opposite. Before we meant modedo medida yafa means completely ignore the diagonal and only measure the straight on the bottom. Over here it means exactly the opposite, which is one of the problems. That's what Rashi's approach to this sugya. Yeah. Here it means modedo medida yafa, measure the whole thing, medida yafa, because as far as the user is concerned, that little old parasite on the surface of this planet, he doesn't know the difference. He thinks he's walking basically straight. And since that's what he thinks, that's how we measure the tchum at that point. And so, even though we're going to lose an awful lot of our tchum as the crow flies in doing this aliyah of asarat tefachim every 5 amot, nonetheless, tough.
Pass what degree?
Well, figure it out. You can do the math very simply. Take out your slide rule or borrow it from the Malach, and you'll see how easy it is to figure.
Whatever happened to the measurement from heart to heart? I mean, at this point, we're no longer heart to heart.
Nope. No more heart to hearts. Mididayafa. So Mididayafa is now the fifth type. The sixth type, if we separate out Havla'a. All right, so this is a completely different type of measurement, which Mididayafa includes even the ups and downs, and you're going to have to subtract that from the tum. Rav Huna Bereda Rav Nosson Matne Lekula. Now, the other approach is quoting Rava as going in the other direction, namely, Lo Sharnu Ela Bahar Mitlaket Asara Mitoch Chamesh, Ava Bahar Mitlaket Asara Mitoch Arba, Omdo Valechlo. According to this Lashon, a mountain that enters into the set of Mechitzot by becoming about 10 within 4 is like having a wall in the way. And if you have a wall in the, because after all, as far as Mechitzah is concerned, this would be a kosher Mechitzah, wouldn't it? It's 10 betoch arba. We talked about Manhattan parking spaces. You know, it's like falling off that sheer driveway when you turn into the parking lot. So here too, it's considered to be useless. Useless to the point that we give it the same din that we gave the koto. We don't force you to measure useless areas. Get some kind of estimate and move on. According to this approach, this is nothing, we don't introduce here a new idea at all, but adarabba, we would continue on with our kidur, and we would never say, just ignore it and measure it if it's not there. You know, don't try to be mavliyayit. But we introduce this idea, which we've already seen, so it's not a new category, which is, if something is in the way and useless, just give it a brief estimate and move on. And therefore, this would be, that Tosis points out, according to the earlier Pirish, the first Pirish, we never have a good, well-defined sense of what is lo nechet tashmishtei lahalakha that will give something to the Nevekota. It's only here that we introduce that concept, in the second Lashon of Rav. So now, as Tosis points out, if we take Rashi's approach, in the first din, we have 4 different types of measurements, right? Because he is saying, according to Rashi now, what we have is, let's say, if you have a asra mitochei, which is the case now that Rava said, we treat a straight area. Okay, so that's something that's called medida yafa, meaning treat it as if it's flat. Then we have asara mitoch arba'a. We have our havla'a. We'll call that one category for our purposes, just to make it clear. We said there's two types of havla'a, one direct and one indirect from the side. But we can call this havla'a. When we have an inability to be mavliya, either because it's yatzik or tzitchum, or because it's ma'amukam, then we do our kidira. When we have something that is useless, like a koto, so then we do amida. And according to this version, we don't have a sense of nechet ashmishte, lo nechet ashmishte, when it comes to anything else but that koto. But when it comes to a guy or a har, we haven't really described that idea. Okay, according to the second lashon of Rashi, we don't have something which is called matadomi d'dayafa, meaning without havla'a. Because, on the contrary, according to this lashon, what he said was, we're either makdir or we're omid. Either we'll estimate it, or we'll drill through it. But we'll never force you to include the ups and downs as a separate part of the tum. It makes a tremendous nafkamina, these two lashonis. Continues the Mishnah, we're almost at the end here, b'vad shelo yetze chutz l'tum. Why not? My time, huh? If people see a group of surveyors anywhere outside of the tchum, they will naturally come to the conclusion that they're still surveying the tchum. So clearly this part was within the tchum, otherwise what were they doing here?
What about they had to get to the other side?
Walk too bad. Miles and then no, then you can't walk out of the tchum. That's the point. Yeah. Maximum is up to the edge of the tchum. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Then you'll just have to do your kidira.
Even if you're not
estimating.
Even if you're not measuring, just walking.
What do you mean, just walking?
He's walking around, he's the other side of the they're going to measure, you know, one of the earlier cases.
Oh, you mean, and nobody knows you're a surveyor? They don't see you measuring you? Then what do they know? Yeah, maybe you're maybe on a delivery. V'im eno yochol avli, otan rabban. Ketzad mekadrin, we said, shamati shemekadrin ba'arim. How do we do that? Tachton, the guy who's on the lower part of the slope, is connected with bo. Elyon, on the upper part of the slope, connected margalotav. In order to avoid losing a lot of the diagonal, we use a small rope, the rope being arba amot, and that way we basically have almost steps. All of these things are tremendous kulas, but when the Torah tells you to be modeid, if you have something which is mididatam, Rashi's gear says minat Torah, over there the chiyuv to measure. And the Torah said the word umadote. So when the chiyuv is to measure, you've got to measure according to the way that you actually would have to get there. Because that's where the issue concerns us. When it comes to tchum Shabbat, as we saw, we have all of these kulas, because the ikar are tchumim of the 2,000 amot certainly would be drabonim. Because of that, they allow you to get away with kidur, with havla'a, with amida, and so on. You don't have to worry about medida yafa, except in rare circumstances.
In the Eglarufa, if you had
a birthday cake,
yeah.
Okay. Holding on the mission of Zion and Ruiz. In Modidin al Mechavel, Shechamishimama, Lopachot, Veloyot, Veloyim, Dor, Elek, Negedi, Kot. Hayamodet, Vigyele, Gair, Legader, Mavliyo. Next case, Vichozer, Lamidator. Igyele, Har, Mavliyo, Vichozer, Lamidator. Vivad, Shalo, Yetzei, Chutzot, Hum. Imenu, Yachol, Havliyo. Vizo, Amar, Rabbi, Distoib, Rabbi, Anem, Shem, Rabbi, Meir. Shamati, Shemikarim, Beharim. I am a day, the Gia Meditani, Jose Lamidato Michladi, Mino Yoko Lavlio, Olego Nakomshi, Yoko Lavlio, Mavlio, Sofek and Edemidato, Vejose, the Nino Latin Rabon and the Gia Midala Guy, in Yoko Lavlio, the Kavishokamishima Mavlio, in Lam, Olego Nakomshi, Yoko Lavlio, Mavlio, Sofek, Jose Lamidato, Maya Guy Meukan, then Magdirio, the Magdiriore, Igia the Cotta, I want to bring you, Gikova Cotta, Lom, don't let look. I have an anthem of the over for some of the tour. Hata Nehatashmista, Akalo Nehatashmista. I'm reviewing on Mishmolosh and Lashain Futamashkala Gerekinigo. הפרקות המשקולת יורד כנגדו, מאוד אדום מדידה יפה. וכמה עומקו של גיא? אומר רבי יוסף, אופיים. איסי הבאי העומק, מאה ורוחב 50 מביון. לא, ואין מביון. הוא יודע מה כאחרים. איתני אחרים אומרים, אפילו עמוק אופיים ורוחב 50 מביון. יקריא אמר רבי יוסף, אפילו יותר מאופיים. What? כמען, זה לא תקן, למה לא כאילו אחר? מה, תמשל חוט המשקולות יורד כנגדו? אך, אבל חוט המשקולות יורד כנגדו. וכי אין חוט המשקולות יורד כנגדו, מינימו עד כמה? אומר רבי מי, 400. וכן תונם רבי וחסקל, 4, נגיד, כל כמו שושונים, מי רבי רמות, סמור, 4,000. הגיע להר להקליאו וחוזר למידתו. אמר רבי לשון על בהר, מתלקט 10 מתוך 4. אבל בהר מתלקט 10 מתוך 5, מודדו מדינה יפה. רבוני ברי דרב נתן, מתן כולה. אמר רבי לשון על בהר, המתלקט 10 מתוך 5, אבל בהר מתלקט 10 מתוך 4. That's just as bad as a kotel. עונדו והולכו. ובבד שלא יצא חוצה תחום. מהייתה עם אמר כאן הגזיר שם יאמרו מידת תחומים בעל כאן. אם אין יכול להב להיות, אני רבון הקצת, בקדרין תחתון כדי לגבור עליון כנגד מעגלותיו. אומר רבי אין הקטין, אני אין מקדרין, אלא בקבע של 400. אומר נחמן, אומר רבי רבוע, אין מקדרין לא בעגלה רופה ולא בערי מלפד, מפני שמידתם מן התור...
What do you think you're ready to do this year?
Woo!